Welcome back to the Song Capture Podcast. My name is Chris Clayton. Excited you're back with us. It's going to be a good one, I promise. If you're new to Song Capture, let me tell you a little bit about it. Song Capture is a demo production service specifically for the worship songwriter. If you write songs for the church, that's who we love serving. You may be a worship pastor looking to get your song in a tangible form for your worship team to learn and play on a Sunday morning. Or you may be a worship songwriter who just wants a great demo to pitch out there. That's what we do. So go over to mysongcapture.com. That's mysongcapture.com. Check out all the different packages and ways that we can serve you with a great demo. Use the promo code TAKE10, T-A-K-E, the number 10, and save 10% off your first demo. On today's show, we have Corey Voss. Corey is one of my favorite human beings in the entire world. He is so humble, he's so giving, he's so slow to speak, but when he does, it is full of great, impactful stuff. He's an amazing songwriter, and today we're going to talk about the song, Praise the King. This song has made a huge impact in the church, and if you have not heard it yet, I encourage you to go check it out. Corey is the worship pastor at Gateway Church in Shelbyville, Tennessee, and leads the team Madison Street Worship as a part of their church. They have a brand new, amazing record full of amazing songs that we're going to talk about as well. So sit back and enjoy the conversation with Corey Voss. Corey Voss, what's up, man?
Chris, not much, bro. How you doing?
I'm so well. Good to see you, man. It's been like forever since I've seen you, and you only live like 45 minutes from me. So
I know, right?
But thanks to Corona, you know, here we are. So
no, here we are. We've all been hunkered down.
Yeah,
how's, in our places.
How's life over there in your neck of Nashville area? Has it been okay?
Yeah, it's been okay. I mean, I think, you know, like everybody's been feeling it, you know, just kind of ready to get back out in the world and do things again. But yeah, it's been good. Shelbyville, I feel like we definitely, obviously, like, things shut down, but it still felt like life was sort of relatively normal here for a little bit. Like people were still out working and that kind of thing. You know, as much as you can with restrictions, but it's been all right. Yeah. And so now we're just kind of making our way back to church and all that good stuff.
Yeah. We were just talking about that before we started recording, is our church's kind of strategies of getting back into gatherings back together. So everybody's feeling it. They're ready to get back into the gathered church together. We've been scattered long enough. So,
yeah.
Well, man, thanks for being on the show. Man, me and you met, I don't remember how many years ago, but we met at a worship conference in Dallas for the first time. Our buddy Farron kind of introduced us together. So we've known each other a bit, even had a stint at the same publishing company for a bit. And I remember when I first started coming to Nashville, you were a part of some of my very first writes here. And so thanks for taking me on and writing with me when I first came to town.
But
those were fun. So I've just enjoyed watching how God has used you and your songs and your ministry there at Gateway in Shelbyville. And outside of those four walls. And so excited to have you on, friend. It's exciting. But man, start off with just so people who may not familiar with you or whatever, just your kind of your background, how you got started in music and in songwriting, and let's just kind of go from there.
Yeah. Well, I moved up to Shelbyville, Nashville area 8 years ago from Central Florida, and I had started writing worship music and leading worship in high school and carried it through college, really got serious about songwriting after college. And so I started coming up doing the Nashville thing where everybody, you come to town and you book some co-writes and, but God just really kind of opened some doors and connected me. And that's when kind of when I met Michael Farron and Jenny Riddle and Dustin, was just through, you know, some of those trips up to Nashville. And, but I think my heart has always been, aside from songwriting and, you know, traveling a little bit, my heart has always been to write, because I felt like, one, the Lord called me to and asked me to do it, but also to be somebody that's able to write for the church, you know, and write songs that will connect people to the presence of God and to the truth of gospel.
Great.
So over the, you know, the last several years, that's been my heartbeat. And
that's cool. For those that may not know this listening, you know, you're the worship pastor there at Gateway Church in Shelbyville. we're sadly not connected as gateway churches in Franklin and Shelbyville, but we share a like heart in that we just love the presence of the Lord and love ushering our people into that. But man, tell me about your church, the culture of Gateway and how progressive that church is being and how much of an impact it's making in rural Tennessee. Cause I mean, it's considered kind of outside of the Nashville metropolitan area, but I mean, something special is going on there. So talk about kind of the culture of what's going on there.
Yeah, it really kind of began when our pastor, his name is Jason Dodrell, he kind of just brought this vision to the church where he said, we want to make the presence of God our priority, and we want to pursue him, and we want to reach the lost, reach people, and see their lives change, transformed. And so we just started pressing in to that, over the course of the last several years. And so it's been cool to watch God's hand in our church, in the local church. And so, you know, we grew from 60 some people to over 1,000 in a few years time. And the Lord just really opened a lot of doors. We bought an old Walmart building and, you know, moved in there and started out with just renovating part of it. And then we've renovated more. So it's been special, man. But what we've seen is more than anything is just God touching the lives of people in this community and beyond. We have people that drive from, you know, neighboring towns and cities to be a part of our church. And everyone, when they walk in the building, they always tell us, like, we feel the love of God right away. We feel God's presence and we feel accepted and brought into the family. So that's really special to us as a church family.
That's awesome. Well, man, I've been over there and, been a part of some of the events over there, and it's a sweet people over there, man. You guys have an amazing space and I love it because you got so much room to grow in that space.
Yeah.
And you've been adding to it as you grow, and which is a huge blessing for that. But, man, I love how God has assembled, the worship team there, if you will. And just, I know a handful of those guys and gals over there, and tell me about your team, like just, you know, how that team evolved into what we know as Madison Street Worship and just how God has kind of put that together and kind of your heart behind putting that with, you know, all these creatives and songwriters and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, a couple of years ago when I turned 30, I felt like the Lord was just speaking to me about raising other people up and investing in people in my church and even people I knew from outside of the church. And so it all kind of started, I guess, whenever I met our guitar player, and he's now our production director at the church, Lee Battalier. And he and I connected down in Mobile, Alabama. I was on a ministry trip and he played guitar for me, and we just became friends, you know, connected right away. And then before I knew it, he had come to visit the church and decided, he's like, hey, I want to move here. I want to be a part of this. And it was like right after my Songs of Heaven and Earth record came out. And so he moved. And then not long after that, Harley, who's another one of our worship leaders, Harley Rowell, he ended up moving about a year and a half after that. And then Bailey Hager moved. And then Lee, who I just referenced, he met his wife, who's from Murfreesboro, Jenna Battalier, and she's on our team as well. So she ended up becoming, so just God just started gathering people, and, you know, some other ones on our team that were from Shelbyville. It's just everybody just started kind of growing, and there's this synergy happening. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, we decided, let's do a record, you know, of songs for our church. From our house, written from our people, you know, what our people are experiencing. And so that was just kind of how the beginnings of Madison Street Worship developed. And we've been just so blessed to have like our partnership with Integrity and just have them behind it. And it's been special, and we're excited to keep on building that. But the heart of it is, like, I've always, as a leader, I've felt called to raise up other people and equip them, as part of my calling. So,
yeah. I'm curious about that. You know, cause I love that we're starting to do that more here at Gateway. And I just, tell me about, I mean, do you have a specific like steps that they take that people, when they onboard to your worship team? And because I know we have a lot of worship leaders who are songwriters are listening. So this is kind of a bonus thing, but you know, what does that look like when you say raise up new, you know, new worship leaders and ministers like that? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, I love that question. We basically, you know, with our team members, the heart has always been to gather people, bring them in, have community together. So we do community nights once a month with our team. And I've even told some of our team members, like one of our drummers, I was like, hey, I really want you to coach the other drummers on the team. Same thing with our, you know, vocalists. Like we have one girl on our team that I was like, I would love for you to help coach people on vocals. And so we've just kind of had this shared vision of that and like equipping people. So on a practical level, it's like, even with songwriting, like we schedule out songwriting sessions with our team, throughout the month. And yeah, so it's been a cool, journey, but we work with people and we help them improve, and grow, give them opportunities to lead songs, lead the church, and even, you know, speaking into the people. During this quarantine thing, we've had online devotionals and we've just rotated. Every worship leader on our team has taken a turn getting to speak in to our church. So yeah, so it's kind of providing opportunity and also giving, at times giving feedback and direction and yeah, running together as a family.
Yeah, man, that's so good. That's so good. You mentioned earlier that you guys made a record a couple of years ago. That was your first record that you guys put out as Madison Street Worship. And so now you've got another one out called Heaven Come Closer, which just came out a few weeks ago. I listened through it. I've listened through it already, but I listened to it again today. And it's, man, it's fantastic. Great songs for the church.
Thank you.
Man, just some stellar songwriting. And so I would love to know just kind of on a songwriting side of things, because like I said, we've got a lot of worship pastors that who would either are writing for their church or they want to start writing for the church. So, you know, how long did it take you to write this record? How many songs did you guys write for this? And the other, you know, what's, you mentioned songwriting sessions that you guys schedule. What's the process for writing for a Madison Street Worship project?
Yeah, we ended up starting with just writing sessions that we would schedule, you know, throughout the year last year. And then we did a little writer's retreat where we just gathered, you know, most of our team and we went to Chattanooga for a weekend and just really spent time in worship and prayer together. And then we spent time writing and we brought in some friends. We brought Ryan Shirley in and a couple other friends to help us craft, songs. And some of our people were brand new to co-writing or like, you know, never been on a retreat for that purpose before. So it was definitely like our first time doing that. And then we got about three songs. I think we wrote like 15 or 20 songs on that trip, but about three of them ended up on the record, which is awesome. And then we booked a bunch more co-writes last summer to keep on writing. And so Integrity helped us out and just, you know, connected us with different people that really helped us, you know, articulate some of the ideas that we already had. And so it was definitely like a process like anything. And you do like anything, any record, you do a lot of writing and you pray about which ones you feel like God's breathing on and what's going to minister the most and also match the theme of the record. And so,
Yeah, I'll talk about that. Is theme of record, is that something that you kind of go in open-handed or is that, are we writing or from the beginning, are you guys writing for a specific theme?
Yeah, we kind of decided the title of the record towards the end, but I think throughout the whole process, that Heaven Come Closer theme was already running through our hearts and our pastor. He honestly kept articulating that vision to our church, you know, of the kingdom and expressing God's kingdom and walking, you know, in his favor and living out that life that reflects the kingdom. And so we've had that, you know, in our DNA for a while. So it was just cool to see. And I think that is Heaven Come Closer is, there's a lot you could say within that theme because there's so many aspects to the kingdom of heaven and what it looks like.
Yeah. You mentioned Pastor Jason earlier and a lot of respect for him, and we've met him a couple times. And tell me about your relationship with him, and in regards to him advocating for you guys putting out music from your house, and how is he involved in helping and supporting that?
Yeah, he's been such a huge supporter. And honestly, he was kind of the catalyst in the very beginning. He went to a prayer conference in Alabama, and there was a ministry team there that they were just praying for all the pastors that came. And he had a group praying for him. And one of the people in that group said, "Hey, I just really hear the Lord saying songs of the house." Wow. And it was like, I feel like, you know, God's about ready to do something special with your worship team, and you're going to write songs for your house, but they'll also go outside of the house too and minister to other churches and leaders. And so pastor came back from that conference, shared that, you know, vision. And he said, "I really want to make this happen. Can we do a project of sorts?" And so it was just cool to like have it really start with our pastor being the one with that original idea. And, he's the kind of leader that he's very relational, but he also is the type that will empower you. He'll give you opportunity and empower you to do something. Yeah. And like, he's been such a huge cheerleader for our team and celebrating and honoring, you know, the whole project and the people involved. And it's really special to have that.
That's really good. I love that because, I mean, we swim in another, you know, from Gateway Franklin side, very similar with Pastor Charlie, and, you know, encouraging.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that, you know, it's that your pastor is involved in supporting and advocating for songwriting within the church, because the danger is that the worship ministry silos themselves away and they just kind of become their thing as part of the bigger thing. Whereas really it's one cohesive thing, helping push out the vision that God has birthed within your four walls of your church. And,
yes.
And I love that, because it sounded like, you know, Pastor Jason just kind of, he saw the bigger picture before you even saw it and said, "Hey, run with it. This is what God's speaking. Now you execute this thing," and he trusts you and empowers you to do that. And that's what's huge about this. Talk to me a little bit too about some more maybe nuts and bolts of, you know, you've written all these songs, you know, that, so you go on this retreat, you write these songs, or you do songwriting sessions specifically for this record or for your house. And so what does it look like to introduce a new song, you know, in terms of even rewriting songs, like after you've tried those songs, or, and then obviously how do you know what makes the record and what doesn't, or what's working, you know?
Yeah, totally. We kind of started introducing some of the songs right away that we had written throughout the year. And then when we did the retreat, there was for sure like two or three of them that we were like, we have to try these in church and see how they go over. Yeah. And so we just kind of just took that step. And our people are so good about like learning new songs. We probably lean on the side of introducing too many new songs, yes, but yeah. Our people are so good about it. And honestly, like, they don't complain about it. Like, they actually love it when we bring new songs to the table. And so, yeah, there was a few that we introduced that it was like, okay, that didn't really go over how we wanted it. You know, they liked it, but it wasn't like, you know, something that they were, you know, shouting from the rooftops at the end of the service. And so that was a great like filter for us to figure out, okay, what's going to work and what's not. And we kind of all went into that knowing like, hey, some of these may not stick and that's okay. But the ones that did, when it came time to pick for the record, it was like, it actually was kind of hard at that point. Cause it was like, well, we've got 15 that we love.
Right.
And we're only recording 10 or 11. So.
Sure. Yeah, that's good. Like I said earlier, the record's great. A lot of great corporate songs in there. I was reminded of how much I loved like the song Highest Praise, and Bailey's on that one, right? And just a lot of great energy, you know, in that one. And then Let There Be Wonder, which you got to write with Matt Redman. I know he put that on his record. And then Miracle in Motion, another great song. And these are just some of the highlights, guys, that you need to check this record out. It's great. But what are some of the songs that off of this record that's now kind of, that stood out at Gateway, that's like, okay, now we've picked the songs. What are the ones that are like, your people go just bonkers over them, you know?
Yeah. They love Heaven Come Closer. We've actually been doing that one a lot recently. Let It All Go is the other song that our people have really connected with. I think because so many of their stories, a lot of people in our church have gone through some really hard things, you know, and that song was just an opportunity to receive healing, you know. And so we've gotten a lot of good feedback about that one. And Solid Rock is one of the other ones on the record that they love. It's like that Hell or High Water line on the bridge.
Yeah.
Come Hell or High Water, My Anchor Remains. And that one's been a big anchor song for us too.
That's great. You're constantly writing, I'm assuming, even though you may not know when another project's coming out, but that's just part of the culture of songwriting, right? I mean, that's just kind of, this is part of the exercise of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. Well, man, one of my favorite songs you've written, and you've written a lot of great songs, had an opportunity to write with a lot of great people, but I love to talk about the song Praise the King. That song is just still today one of those songs that we still lead in our house here in Franklin, and it's just one of the songs that I think will have a long-term shelf life in terms of just being able to integrate it. And it's you know, it's more than just an Easter song. People need to realize that it's so much more than just that. It's a truth that we need to sing as a church all the time. And I kind of feel a little bit selfish that part of it came out of your house and part of it came out of our house a little bit.
Yeah.
Aaron was involved and you were involved. And so I actually love that because it just shows the unity of the church in writing for the church, not just for a church. So I know you wrote this with Michael, you wrote this with Dustin Smith and Michael Bryce Jr. and you. And give me a little bit of the story behind this. I know it's got a little bit of a journey and just kind of how this song kind of came about.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that we're talking about this song. Honestly, this song is so special to my heart and like my journey. But it started out, honestly, I was at my church at Gateway when we were in our old building. This is probably like 6 years ago, maybe. And I was just like playing the keys one day and worshiping. And I thought, Lord, I want to write something about your resurrection. I want to write something that celebrates that and really just glorifies Jesus and what he's done. And so the original chorus, instead of praise the king, it said, hallelujah, he is risen. Hallelujah, he's alive. And I kind of was going with that. And then I ended up, Michael Bryce Jr. came to Nashville to visit for a weekend. And we ended up hanging out. And I played it for him. And he was like, man, that's really cool. He's like, but I've kind of heard that hallelujah thing before. He's like, how about praise the king? And I was like, dude, I like that. That's great. And we kind of just, you know, rewrote the chorus. And then like the verses that we had at the time were honestly just not fitting the rest of the song. So I kind of held on to it. Then I went out to, where was it? Colorado. We went out to Buena Vista.
Yes.
I did a little trip with Michael and Dustin, and I brought the idea. And the goal was to write for my How Great project that I did. And I brought that Praise the King to Farron, and he sat down at the piano, started playing around and started singing. There's a reason why the curse of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness comes to light, or, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like freaking out because he's just spitting out these beautiful lyrics and melody at the same time. And then we write the verses, and then Dustin Smith is like, hey, I've got this bridge that I've actually had for another song, but it just didn't fit. I feel like it'd be perfect for this song. So he starts singing out that, the grave could not ignore it. All of heaven's roaring. And I'm like, what is happening right now? This is just all coming together. And that song was finished within, you know, an hour. And then they were having the sanctuary where we were staying. I guess it's like a bed and breakfast there where we were staying. They were having like a worship night that night, and they asked us to lead worship. And so we introduced the song to like 15 people, and they all just like went nuts when we led it. And it was just cool to see the impact already.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then to see just after I recorded it, and then I know you guys recorded it, and then Shane and Shane did a version of it, and Jackie, and just, it's just cool to see how all the different versions of the song have come forth. And it's, I don't know, it's been really a huge blessing. And my church, we still love it. We still lead it at Gateway. Yeah, down here.
And same here. It's been, it's great. I mean, it's, I've been to the same cabin you have been in Colorado. We've been there together, actually, in order to write for stuff for other things.
Yeah.
There's something special about that house, because there's been so many great songs that have come that's impacted, whether it's my church, your church, or outside of our churches. And so Blame It on the Mountains is probably what happened. It's just gorgeous out there. But I'm sure, you know, it's that story reminds me of just how you had to hold on to that song very loosely, because you thought, you know, you had this chorus, hallelujah, you know, but then, you know, you showed it to Bryce, and, you know, he was like, no, let's change this. And then you tucked it away, and luckily the Spirit prompted you just to bring it back out when you guys are in Colorado. It just shows you, woman, you know, sometimes a song can happen in 4 hours in a writing session, and they're great, and they're very impacting.
Right.
Other times, though, they have to simmer over a long period of time, and God's got to really... a huge kind of journey for that song to get birthed. Really, it really starts with you, you know, you being the one that was just open-handed going, this is not my song to begin with. Let me just offer this and let you guys tweak on it and build on it. And such a cool part that Dustin would actually have that bridge for a completely other song that then would just fit so well. There's another lesson in that, you know, even if it doesn't work for something, doesn't mean it's trash. Tuck it away.
Right.
Songwriter, because you never know when it may be the perfect fit for another song. And that's happened multiple times, I'm sure, for both of us as songwriters.
Yep.
But such a great story. And again, such a great impact. And to see it, like you said, for the Shanes to record it, and Jackie and other people to record it. And, you know, it all started just by you worshiping in your church, you know, and just kind of sensing what the Holy Spirit was kind of dumping on you. That's a great thing to think about, is that so many times as songwriters, we get in our room and we compartmentalize ourselves to this 4-hour block and go, okay, God, dump a song. And he can do that. But really the best songs, and we've heard our friend Chrissy Nordoff say this a lot, is like, it comes out of just a moment of worship in your own personal space. And I just love that. So is there another, I mean, you mentioned you know, when you guys first led that song there in Colorado, you know, is there another story or a moment, whether it's part of Gateway or even outside of Gateway, of from leading Praise the King that just that stuck with you and impacted you as one of the, you know, just as a leader, as leading it?
I think it was like the first time when we moved into our new building at Gateway, when we did Easter that year, we did Praise the King, and we added the bridge to Resurrecting from Elevation Worship.
That's great.
Onto it. And it was probably one of the like highlight moments of worship ever at Gateway, because like those two songs just like really go well together.
Yeah.
And you can do it in the same key. So it was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. And to already like a supercharged atmosphere with Praise the King, then you go into that, by your Spirit I will rise.
Yeah.
It just was like, okay, take us up to heaven, Lord. That's literally how it felt. And so, yeah, I love that.
That's amazing. I may have to try that. That's awesome.
Right?
That's so good. Well, man, thanks for jumping on here today. I'm so excited about the new record, and those who are listening, again, please go stream it, buy it, just put your ears on these songs, use them in your church. There's some great resources out there that come out through Integrity Music as well, that you guys can find with charts and all that stuff. So I encourage you guys to do all that. But Corey, thank you for your obedience in writing great songs for the church, not just musically or lyrically great songs, but just anointed songs by the Spirit of God, and for serving your church well. And I'm grateful to know you as a friend, and looking forward to other great writes, hopefully me and you. And
I know we need to write.
We need to write soon, but thanks for all you do, man. I really appreciate you.
Yeah, you too, man. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this, and it's always great to reconnect and chat with you.
You bet. Talk to you soon.
Man, so a lot of great wisdom and gold in this conversation with Corey. I think there's two things I'd love for you to walk away from this episode with. One, hold on to your songs loosely. We've talked about that before. We'll talk about it many more times in the future. Hold on to your songs loosely. You never know the ride that God has for that particular song. I also love how this song came out of a time of personal worship. We often neglect that, and I encourage you as a songwriter to just worship freely and let the song flow out of that. If you haven't already, please go check us out on Instagram. It's at MySongCapture, and also check us out on Facebook as well. Until next time, have an amazing day. Write some amazing songs this week, and we'll talk to you soon.